series is Walk by Faith. We're in the book of Proverbs, the third chapter and 13th verse. And there's so much in this. I really honestly don't know how long it was going to take me to get through it. And yet, I can see Jesus, if he were speaking on this, it wouldn't take him very long to say it, but he would say everything, and every word would have a meaning. Because that's the way we have the parables. Such small amounts, almost like a diamond, compressed carbon into, and it becomes a gem. 13th verse of chapter 3. Happy is a man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Happy is a man. And I don't know, I guess Brother Jimmy is rubbing off on me a little bit, because I pulled down and see what Strong's had to say about this. And actually, the meaning of it wasn't as much as how it's used. The technical term for it in English is, it's an interjection. I mean, happy. Or as they put it, how happy. You know, this is, we're saying this is not only is it very important, but it's highly emotional. High emotional in a good sense. Happy is a man that findeth wisdom. And come to think about it, this is also, you got all these gems right there in little words. Find. You don't just get it. You have to look for it. You have to search for it. Even as you pray to God, as I did, pray to God for wisdom, we have to look for it in His Word. Have to look to it as we listen to other people. And with that, let's go to the very beginning of the book of Proverbs, the first chapter, and actually the first verse. Actually, I'm going to start 7, perhaps coming back to the first verse. Because this is the point. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. This is where it all begins. Fear of the Lord. I mean, we know that the very beginning verse of the Bible is, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Everything we see was made of things which do not appear. We know these things. God has put them, allowed us to read them, and then to solidify them in our brains. We know these things. The creation. And that meant that everything is under His power. And every rule that is required of everything, all the, what we call the physical laws, which we have discovered, were those which God put there at the beginning. And talking about needing a large amount of wisdom in order to get everything to work. And we talk about sometimes galaxies collide, and sometimes they gobble each other up and all kinds of things. But that was all part of the plan. All of that had to be worked together. Of course, God being of infinite wisdom and knowledge, used wisdom to make everything work exactly how He wanted it to. And giving everything within certain limits. Like the Bible speaks of the fact that the seas can only come so far. But we know during certain times, we have high tide, you have low tide. There are limits in both ways. Anyway, so we have these things. But you see, not all people pay attention to it. As it says in the latter part of this verse, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. No, that can't be. No, I think it's this. I want to do that. But you see, they're not the ones that made it. They're not the ones that made them. We can say, well, I want to eat this kind of a diet. Well, is it what God designed? See, God designed our bodies to work a certain way. And if we do not follow His precepts in that, we are not going to be very healthy. And I'm talking about from personal experience, because until I was with my sister and learned that there's healthy ways of eating, I was sick all the time. Why? Because I didn't get the right nutrition. And see, it requires what you eat does matter. Now, of course, I always say that, and people can take that with a grain of salt. It doesn't make any difference. The seal of the fact boils down to the fact God designed our bodies, and He has dictated what our bodies need, period. And we can say what we want to. It doesn't matter what we say. It's still going to be that way. Some people think they can drink all kinds of alcohol, and they wonder why they have cirrhosis of the liver. You know? As I was talking to Brother Jimmy after the services this morning, it's a matter of, when it comes to doing things, actually that train of thought just left me when I said it, but you don't mess with God. He knows what it is. Okay, what it is. And Exodus comes again, as we were talking about during the lunchtime for a little period of time. Ezekiel chapter 18 and Jeremiah chapter 18 is about how we act. If we are going to do the things God's way or not. And if we aren't going to do it, God is going to give us what we deserve. Sometimes that is punishment. And that, even that can be in several different ways, because I was going to describe this in another way. But you see, we may say, as was, we read the Bible, and we're in the book of 1 Samuel at the present time. And I think it was this morning when Brother Jimmy read about Saul and being, yeah, it was this morning, Saul being ordained as king. And Saul decided he was going to do things his way. As far as that's concerned, actually I'll go a bit further because this will be earlier readings. But still about the exact same thing, about how that God chose Samuel, told Samuel that Saul was going to be the first king. See, they wanted a king. They wanted somebody very much like what Saul was. Because God was giving them what they said they wanted, and let them then find out why they shouldn't have. Why it was more important for him, for Samuel, for the people, to do what God said. That was what it really boils down to. What did God say? Anyway, we gain wisdom if we pay attention to what's going on. And so going back to the first verse, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to receive the words of understanding. This is what the whole book is about. To know wisdom and instruction, to receive words of understanding. To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. To give subtlety to the simple, to the young men, knowledge and discretion. To teach young men, to teach young women how they should live and why they should live. The importance of following God. All of these things is what wisdom is about. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. Why is it necessary? Blessed is a whole, happy is a man that finds wisdom. If you find wisdom, then you can go from there. You can always build upon it because there's more there. And develop the habit. As a matter of fact, if we had time to go through the first three chapters up to where we started this afternoon, if we had the time to do that, we would see how this building and how you've got to do it one step at a time. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. That's what it's all about. And this brings us back to the seventh verse. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. This is your beginning point. This is your foundation point. The beginning of knowledge and build thereupon. The Lord does many wondrous things. But the question is, if a person is really unhappy, don't we want to be happy? Shouldn't we be seeking wisdom and understanding? I mean, because God says there's happiness in this. Or do we want to go around looking like, have a sourpuss? Like sourpuss. Then why don't we? Ouch. Why don't we? But actually, my memory serves to correct me. There's times where it speaks of a negative sense, and this will be in the book of Ecclesiastes, and I haven't looked this up recently. But I do know it's there. We're talking about that wisdom and understanding can get tedious. Why? Because we're not using it the proper way. And we're forgetting who God is. And this is something, one of the things that, in my prayer, I was talking about some of the things that I have paid some very close attention to other sermons other than Brother Jimmy's. And one of them is about God and about love and how it's involved in all our actions and how we are supposed to be doing things. And then suddenly we find out, we actually look very close to some of these things, and we find out, well, we're not doing these things. When he talks about loving our brother, and suddenly we realize, and talking about very specific things, and all of a sudden we say, do I do that? Why not? Why haven't I? You can run into a problem that way. And you wonder, especially one particular place in that he referred to. He speaks of fear being cast out by love. Perfect love casts out fear. Then we wonder why we fear. Now, this particular brother, now there's his sermons that was speaking about this particular part, is Elder Carl Staton, whose grandson, Christopher, we have been concerned with and we have been praying for. And he has to admit there's time, he worries about his grandson. Perfect love's not there. Why? Because we do not always trust God to the fullness. That's simple. I know there's some things, to be honest, that torment me right now. But you see, I'm afraid that certain things won't happen. That's torment. Perfect love of God, of knowing that it doesn't make any difference. And but Jimmy, you have been very explicit in talking about God knowing everything. And God knows exactly everything is going to happen. Not only that, but God works through all these things for our good. that it doesn't make any difference what I want and what I think is going to happen, and it doesn't seem to be happening the way I, that's the important part, I want it to happen. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's not going to work out. I look at my life, and start connecting the dots in my life. And look at some of these places. And I made this particular thing because somebody made a comment, and I didn't exactly appreciate it at the time, because one person, I was talking to somebody when somebody else walked in, and one person actually read one of my knew something about, you know, some of my situations with my wife, and said how great it was. Oh, okay. I remember who said it. It was a lady named Susan. And she had actually gotten one of my books, at least. And she had read it through. And was surprised at how it was written. And really enjoyed it. And another lady came in and said something, you know, it must have been is it a coloring book? Is it, you know, one where you connect dots? And, you know, you can get a little bit... It doesn't go over too well. But anyway, it doesn't matter. You see, but I've forgiven her. Because you see, in reality, it did. I mean, there was dots connect. When Brother Lonnie saw a certain young lady in East Central Mississippi and told her, the young man, that he wanted her to meet. That was a point. Another point occurred a month later was when Brother Lonnie told me there was a meeting I was supposed to go to. But you see, that time I was, what I actually saw was a young couple very much in love, and God, in that, through him and her, was showing me what marriage was really all about. What being of one flesh really meant. Because they had built their own little world, and they were working out from that world. And that was wonderful. I mean, there's another point where I met Susan. Why did I meet Susan? Well, I got tired of listening to someone preach on predestination and make the same points month after month after month, and so I wanted to hear something else. Something from the gospel that I didn't need to hear about. Now, don't get me wrong. I've heard him talk. If I listen to him every once in a while, I enjoy some thinking about predestination. Yes, absolutely. But it was getting the same thing over and over again. No. And so I traveled up 70 miles north from the coast to be at church services in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. And that was Brother Lonnie again. He was what we call a circuit-riding preacher. He had four churches, one in East Central Mississippi, one in Hattiesburg, which is about 70 miles off the coast, and one in Southwest Mississippi. He had those four churches, and he went throughout them. This particular Sunday, the second weekend, he was scheduled to preach in the morning there at Hattiesburg and an evening in East Central Mississippi, where Susan lived. And so when I got up there, he invited me to go up the country with him, and, you know, for services that night, and get me back, and I could get back to work by Monday morning. That'd be no problem. And I didn't have anything to do. And so he wanted to make sure that Susan was there. But anyway, I did meet Susan. All right. But then comes March. this young couple were getting married in East Central Mississippi. And so I wanted to attend. I thought a lot of that couple. And so I wanted to attend that wedding. I told Brother Lonnie that. He says, well, I do too. Come go, you know, come up. You know, he told me to bring, you know, drive up to his house and then we could spend the weekend. And that was the weekend he was in East Central Mississippi, Saturday night and Sunday morning in Sharon Church, where Susan attended. There's Dots. Now, granted, there was this human part that he had, that set things up so Susan and I would be together for a period of time. But you see, that got absolutely nowhere. And the God part of it is the fact that this couple who had married that day, I happen to mention because everything that Susan had said did not make any sense. And so instead, I went and I just blurted out that I had been at a wedding. I mean, I was trying to get somebody to say that we could talk about. And boy, could we. You see, the bride was Susan's cousin. And that broke the ice, and we talked, and we talked for the most part of 3 hours. We really got acquainted. Not because of what men tried to work us together, but to what God had done. And it goes on and on and on like that. I remember one time in Lake Charles, Louisiana, this was mid to late 80s. There's a banging on the back door. Now, we had a piece of iron the full length of the back door, and we had holes in the sides of the doorway that would fit into. I have no doubt but what the person on the other side had the gun. Now, I was along a highway, so fairly safe because there's always people going by. And that's why they were at the back where they couldn't be seen. But they didn't get anything. God was protecting me. And that's the part of what life is about. The love of God. But anyway, there's still an answer. Why don't we do things? It's because we do not exercise our faith. It is not always easy. But then there's another reason. It's found in the 7th chapter of Romans. Matter of fact, let's turn to that. This thing don't want to work too well. That's the very bottom, 23. Actually, let's go back to 19. Okay, all the way back to 18, excuse me. Verse 18, chapter 7 of Romans. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. Again, the question was, why don't we do things? We don't always find how to. Isn't that what he just said? But how to perform that which is good, I find not. Not only that, but given the fact that we have with our forefathers and partaken of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We have all these things that we think about. Well, what about this and what about that? And we have all the traditions of this. You know, the family does it certain ways. And that is something where I ran into serious problems in college because my parents had taught me to do things in a certain way. But didn't teach me why. Didn't give me a foundation to work on. And so I just went blindly. I didn't know. I didn't even know, hey, it makes sense to read the Bible. Now, the fact is this, that when I joined the church in 1956, I was given and was baptized. I was given a New Testament with Psalms, and I did read it periodically. Matter of fact, and I didn't know any better, but my parents did do this, but I thought it might make sense to take it along with me to church and you know, read along with the minister, even though I didn't know when he gave a Bible reference where that was. Because, you see, I had not been taught. Now, if I remember, Brother Jimmy talked about a Christian education, or maybe this was during the noon hour, but it's important to teach the children Christian principles. This is something that I point to my niece as being, of doing an excellent job, because not only did she homeschool them, but she made sure that they learned things that were in the Bible. So much so that I have found in talking with the three older ones, because the younger one at 13 is, I won't say exactly like a butterfly just sort of flittering around. But I can talk about serious things with the three older ones. And I am shocked. I start talking about things. And normally if I'm speaking to most people, I have to explain what I mean. Because they're not that well acquainted with the Bible. These children are. They will have a foundation to work upon. If I had that foundation before I was in college, it would have been much different. But, you know, but we all are responsible for what we do. My parents are responsible for not reading their Bibles out loud in the evening. They're responsible for teaching his basic principles. Why are you doing this? So we could build, have a foundation and build on that knowledge and that understanding and that wisdom. So we know why. I mean, the Bible says so. But you see, you've got to read it all to find this out. This is the one thing, and I have heard ministers make this particular comment that they, you know, I stood as I am right now and spoke for a period of time, and I mentioned the fact that it's important that we read it all. And he made the statement, he doesn't know whether he's read it not all or not. Well, what is he missing? Maybe this is where my saying, well, but, you know, I'm not ready to go just yet, because, you know, whatever, if there's more new good things, wonderful things out here, I want to experience everything that's in the kingdom that I possibly can while I'm here. I don't want to leave any of it out. Now, when it comes afterwards, when it comes to a place where there is no more, you know, where my life, physically, whatever, is not the place where I can handle anything more, then fine, let's go on. And now, what is there now? I mean, always that. Because of who God is. Always that. So here's why. And where do some of our bad times come from? Verse 24. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Now I have heard, and I cannot guarantee the truthfulness in any way, shape, or form, but supposedly one of the methods of punishment is they were to attach a dead body to a person, they would have to drag it around all day long. Is this true? Okay, Brother Jimmy says it's true. So apparently he's probably looked that up when I haven't. But actually, yeah, we're dragging our bodies. We're dragging the effects of sin in our bodies. Okay, going back to verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would that I do not, but what I hate that I do. And that sounds about like me. Brother Carl would say that sounds a lot like him too, from at least from his expression. And this is where we get ourselves into trouble. Things do not, and we're not always happy. But there's some other things involved in this. And that's the fact that people don't always pay close attention to what they're doing. Specifically, sometimes people get to the place where they don't even want to learn. And again, I mentioned about my beginning of college. That was me. I thought I knew it. You know, Dad said it. Mom said it. That should be it. Or Mom did it. Or Dad did it. That should be it. That should be the only reason. But is it? You see, Brother Jimmy is shaking his head for those who can't see. But, you know, but it isn't. Anyway, where we're going is the 13th chapter of Matthew. And first verse. Then we're going to skip around. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things in them in parables, saying. And then we have the parable of the sower. And again, as I mentioned before, when I was talking about the baptism, about being born of the Spirit, and how that was similar to being born physically or as a human being. And so it was with this. You see, they heard. Well, let's get down to further than what Jesus said. Let's drop down to verse 10. This is just right after he had finished his first parable. And disciples, verse 10 says, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. So you see, sometimes when you have people who don't want to do things, sometimes it's because God has decided in judgment that they're not going to get another chance. They have been given to judgment. In verse 12, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. So they could hear that parable, the parable of the sower, and not see any spirituality in it whatsoever. So yeah, because everybody knew about sowing seed and how the fact you need to, as one brother in Arkansas made the comment about the seed bed. You had to fix, prepare the seed bed, because you wouldn't just go out into an area where, in, especially, Brother Jimmy was talking about at dinner about a garden, and it had been very good soil that a brother had fixed and maintained, except for this year, and let Brother Jimmy have it. And Brother Jimmy was too busy doing other things, and so the weeds got caught all over it. And just as a parable says, the harvest was basically nil. All of the work that was put into it went for naught, because it wasn't there. But anyway, we're getting down into the meat of things as far as this part is concerned. And so talking about these people that seeing, yet they see not, hear, but yet they hear not. And verse 14 says, and in them, that is in these people, is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, that's Isaiah, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. And here is a real gem in the center. For this heart, people's hearts is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Again, that described me my freshman year in college. And I didn't even know it. matter of fact, it's only recently actually it makes sense. So really I can speak to this particular point, because I've been there, I've done that. And I also know how horrible the results were. Why was the heart waxed gross? Because I was so certain, you know, that I had, well, no, I didn't think I had any answers, but I only had certain examples, and so I thought, sure, these things must work. They don't, but that's what I thought. That's how I acted. When people tried to help me, literally, Elder Roscoe Williams, but actually he hadn't been ordained yet, but his brother Roscoe Williams, who took me aside and tried to get me to do things, and I didn't quite make it. Sort of reminds me of the summer I was in Donelson, Arkansas. It was in July of 59 that I was in singing school. Brother Logan Green was teaching it. He was a music teacher in school. And he took me aside and one afternoon, singing school was in the morning and evening, and in the afternoon he took me aside and he was trying to teach me some important things about music and how the different place, you know, your soprano and alto and tenor and bass parts, and how you worked out for melody and how you needed to do things a certain way. And it didn't make any sense to me, and I basically just brushed him off. And he realized it wasn't going to do him any good. I could have learned a lot of things. And I probably should have. God gave me that opportunity. But you see, that wasn't all of God's work in that particular area, because this was like July. Now, come middle September, twice a month, every third weekend, we'd have lunch, a Sunday morning service and lunch. And, of course, Brother Clapp, who was the pastor, preached other places on the second and fourth weekend. So we just had first and third weekend. But anyway, after lunch, all the young people would go upstairs into the sanctuary, and there we would sing through the old Monsey's book. It was actually number 9. It was a small book compared to the 11. It might even be 12 by now, or maybe it's more than that. I don't know. But you see, the point was, here was another thing, and that was when I learned a lot more about music, about singing, about the things I would need to have when I got to Mississippi. See, I didn't know I was going to wind up in Mississippi, but God did. God knew that there was a young lady named Susan that I was going to be marrying, but I wasn't ready for that either. But he had his part. So in spite of all my hard-headedness and so forth, God still worked things in. And he did that this way. And I was talking about how we sang through that. Humbled by the fact that everybody else had been in band in high school. They had more musical training than I did. Now, I have gathered, but not in an organized way the way they had. So I was willing to listen to them. And I learned. You see, that's the difference between being like I was of, no, I can't do that way. Why should I do it that way? You know, like Brother Williams, why should I do these particular things you want me to do? I didn't understand that. And no one there in that church really understood what it would take to get through to me. They knew there was something terribly wrong with me, but they had no idea. Because you see, they didn't know either. But they were all worked out because God made sure it did. But who is it that these things are true about? Every one of us. I'm not the only one. In fact, anybody who hears this, all you have to do is look in the mirror and you'll see a person who is guilty of this. I know I see it all the time. But you see, I do look in my mirror. I can tell you, like that particular incident about in college, I can tell you times where I have done these things. I know these things happen. I know why they happen, because I was stupid enough to do it. I was stubborn enough to do it. To ask, to seek. This is what it's talking about at the very beginning of the book of Proverbs. It's talking about seeking things out, asking, knowing that there are things that God will reveal to us if, as James says, we ask for it. And we take the time to, and this, by the way, we have to be careful when we ask for things of God, especially wisdom, to make sure that we are really honest in asking. Oh, I ask for wisdom, but let me tell you, God, what wisdom is. You know, it don't work that way. That's not God's way. He's been there. He knows them. And it's because of what the person does that, again, they allow, they get so caught up in emotions and everything, they allow their heart to get hardened. Or, as it says here, the heart is waxed gross, as mine was. The ears. They have heard things always, as I had for growing up. I've heard things a certain way. Well, then it has to be that way. No, it doesn't. It doesn't at all. I know, for example, I had heard many years, many times, by just about everybody I met. As a matter of fact, after that particular point, everybody had met that Jesus died on a Friday. That's not what the Bible says at all. I even read one of a what I consider a very intelligent minister, and he's describing the 3 days and three nights as it started. He claims that it was Thursday night when Jesus was in the garden. And he sweat those great drops of blood. And, okay, let me, rabbit just jumped out, pardon me. About him, this blood, the thing about describing you sweat as it were great drops of blood, and says, well, it's almost like it was blood. And one particular minister by the name of Elohim Adair ask a doctor about this. And it says if it's possible for a person to get in so much agony that the blood vessels in the sweat glands open up and blood actually gets mixed with the sweat. And yes, given that testimony, it was blood. It was that the agony was that great. But you see, if you don't allow people say, if you don't listen to what people say and check things out, you'll miss things. And that's the point. And that's the problem with the Pharisees. They knew. They had spent all their time in the Talmud. This is how we explain what God expects of us. Only problem is, it's not how God said it. But you see, the hearts were gross, waxed gross. The hearing shot. Their eyes don't want to see it that way. We have it today. Right here in the United States. President calls and saying, there's nothing wrong with that. Well, it looks like that judgment as far as the Senate is concerned is pretty well fixed. That God's justice is yet to come. Because you see, dear brethren and sisters, when he speaks, or when Christ speaks, to Donald J. Trump, he is going to come from a position of judge who knows what Donald was thinking, what he was feeling, what emotions he had. He knows already all of those things. There's nothing Donald can say that God won't be able to say. You're lying again. Either that or Donald has to admit the truth. I don't think I'll be privileged to see that, and I don't really care one way or the other. It doesn't matter. It's just that we all have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The things I have done, I'm going to have to answer for. And I'm not going to have to be able to say, well, but, no. This, that, or the other. Because you see, there's no such thing as an excuse with God. And so we can get ourselves, But the point I want to make is this. Even though people are this is how people are, they didn't have to be that way. I say that because of the publicans and sinners. These people, the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees, would want to have as little to do with as possible. Matter of fact, when it comes to their complaining to Jesus about not eating with washed hands, if they were around any of these people, they'd immediately go home and take a complete bath. You know, this is my particular position considering the way Jesus put it. But they would definitely want to wash all that filth away from them. But it was the publicans who heard John. And they didn't have any illusion about the things of the Pharisees. But they had something and let me back up, make sure I get this right. Because you see, we need to make sure when we're talking about God that we get everything right the way it should be. What did the Pharisees not have? Well, first of all, I've mentioned the things it does. But you see, the Pharisee, like the publican, had been taught of God. The difference was the Pharisee learned of him. So when John spoke, they knew it was the truth. All are taught by God. He that heareth him and learns of him comes to me. That's why the Pharisees didn't. That's why the publican did. That's why sinners did. That's why that prostitute who walked in off the street where Jesus was dining with a Pharisee. That is, I mean, she was crying copious. And by the way, well, I need to mention this thing. I don't know whether it really makes that much difference or not. But they were not seated like we seat when we eat. As I understand it, they had sort of tables that they laid down on. And every person, as they got close to the bottom of the table where all the food was always at the feet of, his nose was always near the feet of the person higher up or closer to the head of this meal. The people who owned the place, the person of honor, was at one end and their feet was dangled down the other direction. Because it said that this particular prostitute walked in there and stood behind him. She was standing, and yet those tears dropped onto his feet. She was there where she could bend down and use her long hair and wipe that dirt, mud, off his feet and into her hair. Even so, kissing whatever was left that she couldn't get off. That's how much she cared about Jesus. What did the publican see? Did he see someone who wanted to change their life? Or did he see her as a prostitute? And say, well, if he had known who she was, if he were a prophet, he would know who she was. You know, and really put Jesus down. In his own mind, I mean, this guy can't, you know, this guy's not, why did I invite him here? You know, you know, it's just a bad thought. But that's how Jesus is, isn't it? But this is the main point of that. Yeah, I'm not going to get anywhere near where I need to be. Get back to my starting point. I'm back to Proverbs. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I've got this marked, but I don't have actually any notes on it, so I have to go from there. Yeah. Okay, Simon, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And we're all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did eat of the same spiritual meat. And did drink of the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they lusted. And it goes on down to all kinds of other things. But what is important here? Being baptized unto Moses. And there was cloud in the sea. And I look at that and I was considering that. And it also takes me a little bit later in history. 40 years after they left Egypt. Joshua was about to lead them across the Jordan River. And I have heard many people speak, and to a certain extent I think they're correct in talking about the fact that that crossing was a baptism. It was a baptism unto Joshua. See, when we are baptized, we're baptized unto Christ. We are saying, we will follow you. We will do what you expect of us. That's what we're saying in baptism. That's what they're saying in baptizing unto Moses and in the sea and in the cloud and in the sea. As they went across the Red Sea. As they followed him and followed the cloud wherever they went during those 40 years. They were baptized that way. They're saying, and they were following him, not always as much as they should have. Because you see, the time came that every time that God sent them a trial, he was proving, he was teaching them lessons, and they weren't learning. Oh, isn't that what I said? God teaches all men. He that heareth and learns. When they crossed the Red Sea, they didn't learn that God, regardless what, there was a serious situation. They could be dead. Their bodies torn apart with swords laying out there on that seashore. But God says, no, it's not. I will give you the way. I will show you. I will provide the way. I will divide the water. You can walk across. And when your enemies try to do something and try to continue to follow you and try to harm you, I will destroy them. And they weren't there anymore. Well, the body was laying out there along the seashore, the ones that didn't say remain down at the bottom of the sea. Anyone that floated to the top got washed onto the shoreline. That was it. All of them gone. God provided them salvation, complete and total. And when they came to Marah, and the water was bitter, and they were thirsty, and they had very little of any water anywhere, they didn't learn the fact that, okay, you've got this serious problem. Here's how you solve it. There was always a solution. That's what they missed. That's what they didn't learn. There was always a solution. When they ran out of bread, there was manna. But now you had to obey God. Because 4, 5 days of the week, I'm sorry, 6 days. 6 days a week you gathered. And you don't gather for 2 days unless God tells you to. Sunday through Thursday, if you had to gather just one day. If you didn't, you woke up to a horrible stench because there was worms. It was an ugly mess they had to throw out if they left it over. Now come Friday, they had to gather twice as much because there would be none on the Saturday morning. That's how it was. And so you run into these situations. They had to obey God. And God provided them throughout that entire thing. See, this was a lesson that Joshua and Caleb paid attention to. Now, probably some of you who are listening, if you're on the radio and elsewhere, you might know this. But you see, when it talks about everybody over the age of 20, when they were numbered there at the Mount Sinai, because they had revolted against God, the Kadesh Barnea, and says, "We will not go in. We're going back to Egypt. We've got our captain here. We're going to take everybody back." And God says, "No, you're not. All those people," says, 20 years and older, "would not enter the land of Canaan." And so the assumption usually is that's the situation. Anybody over 20 there at Mount Sinai didn't. Well, that's not true. Eleazar, Aaron's son, very likely, because by the time they got to Mount Sinai, he was a grandfather. Very likely he was over 20, you know. Phinehas, who had a son, very likely was over 20. There's two more, and they did. There was a lot of Levites who did. It was talking, but who were the ones who were, who do we know was over the age of 20 at Mount Sinai? There's only one group of people. The people they chose as their army. That's 603,550 men. Those were the only ones that died. Those are the ones who would not enter the land of Canaan. There are others probably died in the various things that God rained upon them because they disobeyed God. Anytime God came down with vengeance and judged them and punished them for doing things they shouldn't be doing, those died too. So again, it's a matter of what Brother Jimmy said this morning. It's a matter we get judged constantly for what we are doing. And if we change our ways, if we're doing horrible things and we change our ways and do things the right way and continue to do it that way, God is going to say, "Whatever I was going to do against you for these things, I'm not. You have done it. What counts is right now. Not what happened. What counts is right now." And the same thing is true. If you have been doing great things and then suddenly turn and do horrible things and you deserve to die, you will get that punishment. And it doesn't make it what you've done before. It's what you do now. The word is obey my voice. And that means every day as you go along. And I was right. I took about 90% of the notes I made on this one. But that time is up. And so we will leave you with this. But the important thing to remember is to make sure. Have a good reason for being to seek out, search out. Let me go back and read as the last point. This 13th verse of Proverbs chapter 8. "Happy is a man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. happy is he. May the Lord richly bless you.